this might be the first time we've ever truly done a biblical fast. I'm not talking about not doing Instagram for 21 days. I'm not talking about giving up sugar for 21 days. I'm not even talking about the Daniel fast, which, let's be honest, is a Daniel diet. And all you do is think about how to cook vegetables in a new way the entire 21 days. I would rather not eat, to be honest with you, than figure out how to cook vegetables for 21 days. But I'm going to talk to you about how to fast, how to prepare for a fast, and what a fast is actually for. A lot of times people will do it out of sheer grit. They're like, I want to try fasting. I see it in the Bible. I see a lot of churches doing it. A lot of cool people out there preaching about monastic style life, and they fast on a weekly basis. But I just want to teach you straight out of how Jesus does his fast so that we can get a good idea of what fasting actually looks like and give you a good start to fasting. Every single time I fasted, I finished the fast. I know a lot of people have a hard time getting through the entire period of fasting, and that can be hard. I know day 3 and day 10 get really hard, but we'll get into that in just a minute. We'll talk about what your body is actually doing during a fast so that you're not freaked out when you're in the middle of a fast. At the beginning of 2022, I did my first 40-day fast, and it was wild. My intimacy with God was crazy. My body went crazy as well. But when I read about it, when I looked at what that long of a fast would actually look like in my life, I prepared for it, got ready for it, took a look at it, and decided to jump in. And if you have a family, you have to remember too that your whole family's doing the fast with you because it changes the order of your life. You'll be surprised when you start this fast how much of your life is centered around food, the next meal, the next thing that you do. But I want to read from scripture, starting with Jesus' baptism, actually. A lot of people don't start here when it comes to Jesus' fast in the book of Matthew, but I want to start in the book of Matthew in chapter 3, verse 13. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answering said to him, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answering said to him, permit it at this time, for in this way it's fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted him. And after being baptized, Jesus went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove, not a dove, but like a dove, and coming upon him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And I want to stop right there. So Jesus, before he starts his fast, before he starts his ministry, before he starts anything at all, before he goes into the wilderness, which we're going to talk about here in just a second, before he starts anything at all, he gets a download of identity from his Father in heaven. Now, this is really, really important. Now, grace, the grace you're given by God, is not opposed to effort. Sometimes the Christian life is hard. We need to discipline ourselves like we're soldiers. We do need to do those things. And fasting is surely a discipline. But we need to realize that it comes out of a place of grace. It comes out of a place of God giving us the power to actually do it. If you're not eating, that's not a fast. What you're doing when you fast is you're setting aside food for a period of time in order to get closer to God, in order to have more intimacy with him, out of your love for him, and in order to have breakthrough in your life. It's a killing of the flesh in order to get closer to Jesus, who you already love, who's giving you the power to actually get through the fast. Now, there's a couple of things that need to happen when you fast. One of the things I found make it a lot easier is doing a fast with other people, not just going it alone. That's why we're doing it as a church together in January, starting the first Sunday, because doing it as a group, we all get on the same page. We all kind of have the same struggles. We're all hungry together. And it just helps. It just helps not doing it alone. But in your secret place, you're replacing the times you would normally eat and the focus on food in your life and turning that focus toward intimacy with God. And this is the best possible way to set up your year. It's the best possible way to do it. Now, one principle I learned when I did 40 days of fasting in the first place is I had like all this list of things that I was going to pray for God to give me breakthrough in my life. I wanted certain things, even like material objects. I wanted things like when it came to the church, when it came to my ministry, when it came to my life just in general. And by day 21, 22 in this fast, I realized that the fast wasn't mine. It was his. And one of my spiritual fathers, Ed Purick, who pretty much lives a monastic life. You can pick up any of his books. It's like The Father Loves You, The Father's Love. He talked to me in the middle of this fast, and I was like, what's like going on? I'm wrestling with a lot. It got really difficult at one point. And he goes, you have to remember that the work is the fast. The work is the fast. A lot of times we're trying to get other things done around the fast, but the work itself is the fast. And I want you to realize that going into it in the first place, that your Father in heaven loves you before you start. You're not earning extra love from him. You're not earning extra stuff from him. It's about getting close to him just for the sake of getting close to him. You're setting aside things to get near to him. And that's what's actually going to change your life, because what you look at, what you behold, is what you actually become. So we'll continue here. Then Jesus was led up. This is chapter 4, Matthew. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And I just find that hilarious that, of course he was hungry. But right away, what does the enemy do? The tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, realize that when you step into this fast, the first thing that the enemy is going to try and come at is your identity. Did God really ask you to do this? Did God really ask you to fast? Did God really want you to do this thing that's in your future that you're praying about? Did God really say, are you who you say you are? Because a lot of stuff is going to get stripped back in your life when you fast. You won't realize it at first. But once you get into this fast and you're praying on a daily basis, the word becomes your bread. And I'll talk about that in just a second. The word becomes your bread. You'll realize that your identity has some missing pieces, and the enemy's going to come right for those. But what you need to remember is that when Jesus, before he started his fast, when he went into it, he'd already gotten a word from the Father that he was well pleased with him. And remember that. Use that as your anchor throughout the entire fast. It's really, really important that you do that. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, I've done fast before. I remember this fast I did in New York. There were a couple of days where I was just tired. It was the first time I did a full 21 days. And it's New York in the winter, so you can imagine, like, you get cold. There's a lot to it, right? There's a lot of discomfort involved here. And you're like, you have no idea how much you'll be looking forward to a hot shower in the middle of a fast. But Jesus says really clearly here that we live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. When I was in New York, the couple of days that I didn't actually read the word, I noticed a drastic difference in my ability to carry out the fast, the way that God was asking me to do it. You have to be in the word on a daily basis. If you're not in the word on a daily basis now, add it to your fast, because this is a good way to actually start being in the word on a daily basis and realize it is actually bread for your life. It's what actually feeds your spirit. It's what feeds everything in your life. It's so important. It's so important that you're reading the word and praying on a daily basis, because the whole thing is about getting to know Jesus, getting to know who he is, and him continuing to sanctify you, transform you, change you by the power of the Holy Spirit every single day. Verse 5, then the devil took him to the holy city, and he had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. This is another really important thing. A lot of times when we're in the midst of a fast and we have this list of prayers that we're asking God for, the enemy can use some of those things, if they're out of the wrong spirit, to tempt and test God. Like, well, God, I'm fasting for you, so you give me these things. I'm fasting for you, so can you give me this stuff? I'm fasting for you, and I'm expecting breakthrough in these things. Here's what fasting really does. Now, if those things are from God and not desires out of your flesh, if it's ministry, if it's work, if it's family, you're praying for the salvation of family members, those are good things. There's nothing wrong with those things. But to think that you can earn those things necessarily by effort without becoming the type of person that can actually receive those things from God, you've got it all backwards. You don't want to presume with God when it comes to your fast. What the fast is about, like I said before, and I'll repeat this through this entire video, is getting close to Him. God wants to turn you into the type of person that can he can trust more things with, that you can steward more in your life. And a fast will do that. But I think a lot of times we'll be surprised by the things that we actually want by the time we're done fasting. You might want certain things at the beginning, but by the end, I would encourage you to think about how you can get nearer to Him and wanting only Him, living a real Jesus plus nothing life. I know by the end of my 40-day fast, I think it was in 2022, I realized that the last 10 days especially, that I'd been asking for all these things, I'd been tempting God with all these things, or at least from a perspective of like, I'm doing this fast, so you kind of owe me this stuff because I've been like not eating for you. But the reality was that God was bringing me to a place where all I wanted was Him. And then He could give me the things He desired to give me on top of that. Jesus says really clearly, put the kingdom first and all these things will be added unto you. And the kingdom, in a strange way, is Jesus Himself, because you can't have a kingdom without a king. Continuing here, verse 7, Jesus said to Him, on the other hand, it's written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. So don't test God through the whole thing. Just ask for His presence and ask for a change of heart. Verse 8, again, the devil took Him to a very high mountain and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And He said to Him, all these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship Me. Then Jesus said to Him, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. Then the devil left Him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to Him. You'll realize throughout the fast the idols that are in your life. You'll realize the things that you're watching on TV, the things that you're eating, the people in your life, the things that you're actually bending the knee to that aren't Jesus. And that's what a fast brings out of a lot of people. They realize as you get closer to Him, the more you'll realize things in your life just aren't the things they're supposed to be, the things you're not supposed to be spending time on, the things you're not supposed to be, in a sense, worshiping, or the things you're chasing after that you don't want to chase after anymore. Realize that God is redirecting your heart. He's shaping your heart. He's transforming you. Now, those are three big temptations that can come during a fast. Now, on to like what's just happening in your body, right? A lot of people worry about fasting. Is it healthy for me? Is it something I can do? I would encourage anybody that's had any issues with eating disorders in the past, or just has problems when it comes to food. Obviously, if you need to talk to a doctor, talk to a doctor. But for the majority of people, fasting is actually extremely healthy for your body. It gives your liver a chance to catch up and clean out toxins. It gives your body a chance to buffer the immune system. And honestly, it switches you into something called ketosis, so your brain can run a lot clearer. It cleans toxins out of your body. It cleans up, you know, your entire digestive system. So it's actually pretty healthy to do. It's a healthy thing to do. The places where you'll hit walls, day 3 and day 10, I found were the hardest days, especially in a 21-day fast. So make sure you're accountable on those days. By day 10, your body is actually starting to starve a little bit, so it'll be tough. You'll start to ask the Lord around that day, like, is this what you really wanted me to do? Should I quit? I would encourage you, don't quit. keep going. And when I'm talking about fasting, I want to be really, really clear. It is setting aside food. Every single fast in the Bible is setting aside food. It's not Instagram. It's not media. It's not TV. It's not any of those things. Here's why. You actually need food. After a certain period of time, you actually need food. If you're trying to break other bad habits and get rid of other things in your life, start with the big foundational stone, which is food in the first place. If you can give that to God and make him your bread on a daily basis, you can have victory in this. And if you're doing it as a collective, as we do it as a church, as we walk into this season of fasting and praying together, the reality for a lot of us is we'll have this special presence of God as the body of believers set themselves aside to actually pursue God. I've seen so much breakthrough happen because of fast. I've seen transformation happen because of fast. This church, Salt, started because of the fast in 2022, at the beginning of that year. God downloaded a bunch of vision and a bunch of purpose when it came to this church in that period of time. So here's the thing. You may end up getting what you don't expect, but here's the reality of it. God really wants you to be transformed so that he can give you the things he wants to give you throughout the year. He can change direction in your life where he needs to change direction. If you're trying to make big decisions, you're spending so much more time with him and focused on him that he can give you clear counsel. You begin to hear from God a lot more clearly. You get a lot more revelation from scripture because you're not focused on the next thing. It slows your life down and it removes a lot of the noise so you can actually hear clearly from him. And when you do it as a church, when you do it as a collective, you see the power of God descend on people and things transform and things change and miracles happen, I believe, because so many people have transformed through the process. So as you step into this fast at the beginning of this year, setting aside food, talk to your spouse, talk to the people in your life, do it together. Set aside the time to actually spend with Jesus right now so that you're actually getting bread from the word and prayer as you seek him throughout this next year. But it's a great start to the year. It's a great way to focus your life on what he actually wants for you. It's a great way to gain clarity on your future. But most of all, and this is the focus of every single fast, you're going to get closer to Jesus. You're going to get closer to him. And that's the whole point. The whole point is to get closer to him. The whole point is intimacy with Christ. And even if some days you don't feel like that's the point, don't struggle. Don't worry about it. Still pray for the stuff that you have written down. Don't worry about that. But just keep giving the time to God. Keep giving the moments to him. Throughout your day, continue to pray to him. Change the way that you do your daily life. Don't make your Christianity an extracurricular activity. This is a great way to reset all that, clear out all the gunk and the clutter from the year before. The clutter in your mind and the clutter in your heart will start to dissipate as you step further and further and further into fasting. And you may find that you have this love-hate relationship with it. You hate stopping eating. You love to eat. Especially if you're a foodie, or that's what people say when they worship food, like I'm a foodie. But especially as you're setting aside food throughout this period of time, you begin to realize the clutter in your life is starting to wash out and your mind and your heart are a lot clearer when you're speaking to him. And you may end up loving this more than you think and make it a pattern in your life, not just doing it every once in a while, but doing it often so that you can get closer and nearer to God in the end. So as we do this as a church, when we start in January, those are a few tips to help you get through it. Just follow Jesus as he fasted. Remember, and this is what I said before, to reiterate, this is not about earning anything from God. It's about getting nearer to him. Your identity is already set in him. The Father already loves you. He sees you through the sacrifice of Jesus and what Jesus has already done for you, that work. But he's not opposed to the effort that you put into this fast. It will continue to transform you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Just surrender, accept his grace through the process, and do not forget to continue to set aside time for the word and prayer through the whole thing. Otherwise, you're just starving yourself, and that's no fun at all. Hope this really encourages you. I want you to know that you are capable of actually doing this, even if you haven't done it before. And if you have done it before, make sure that you're helping other people along in the process as well. It's going to be a blast. Trust me, there will be breakthrough in this, in your personal life and as a church.